This is KTOO Public Media's Juno Afternoon, and our next guest is UAS hydrologist Christian Keenholz. Christian, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right. You're here previewing. You've got the fireside lecture tonight out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, which I'm sure is plowed. I'm sure there's a clear way to get there tonight. No problem. Take it easy on the roads, right? But
yeah, I'm sure it'll be plowed.
Yeah. And really interesting stuff. You're going to be talking about all these kind of recent dynamic activities that have been happening around the flooding that's been happening out of Suicide Basin on Mendenhall Glacier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll start with a little bit of background. I think as most of our listeners are aware of, Mendenhall Glacier has had almost annual outburst floods since 2011. And these outburst floods, they originate up at Suicide Basin, which is a side basin off of the lower Mendenhall Glacier. This entrance of Suicide Basin gets dammed by the trunk of Mendenhall Glacier. And behind this ice dam, a lot of water is accumulating over the course of several months. And then once a year, typically in midsummer, this water finds its way through the ice dam and the lake drains catastrophically. And because there's typically a lot of water in the basin, the water release kind of causes flooding along Mendenhall Lake and River, and sometimes in perfectly nice weather, which is a unique characteristic of Glacier Lake outburst floods. And then during these floods, low-lying houses and other infrastructure, such as the campground, may get inundated. So that's a little bit of...
Now, it seems like these floods have been happening more often lately. Is that correct, or is that just our more recent...
Yeah, they started happening in 2011, and they have happened almost annually since 2011. In 2013, there was a very small one, but generally, yeah, pretty much every year. And last year, we had a fairly big one, I think the third largest one, and we were lucky to actually observe it with a lot of instruments.
So that was what I was going to ask. Because it's kind of been happening more recently, of course, for the community, that's a real – and, you know, like the Oxbow got washed out and all that stuff has happened in Mendenhall River, which for the community is a big adjustment, especially because there's houses in that area. Yeah. But for scientists, maybe it's an opportunity, I'm guessing. Like you have an opportunity to put instruments in place and things like that, right?
Yeah, from a scientific perspective, Suicide Basin is an ideal case. It's very close to Juneau. It's very well accessible. So we can go there pretty quickly on short notice, and we can put in many, many interesting instruments, which give us very interesting results. So it is really an ideal case to learn about Glacier Lake outburst floods and potentially apply those results to other glaciers worldwide, which are not as well accessible as Suicide
right.
Basin.
But this is a phenomenon that does happen in other glaciers worldwide?
Oh, it does happen at other glaciers, and actually increasingly so, because that's a phenomenon that happens more often with retreating glaciers. And as we see worldwide, glaciers are retreating rapidly, and that's something we see more and more. Can happen in the Himalayas, it can happen in Chile, so not only in Alaska, definitely not.
Are there areas where glaciers, you know, in this area, this the Jökulhlaup, did I get it?
Jökulhlaup, yeah, it's
okay.
An Icelandic term, that's,
yeah.
That's correct.
That is something that is, you know, has the potential to threaten where people are living. Is that a situation that's happening in other places as well, where there's actually structures and things like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially in the Himalayas, can be a big problem. Mm-hmm. And here we have to say, here at the in Juneau, we are lucky because there's Mendenhall Lake far down, which is actually a reservoir. So if there wasn't this lake, then the potential consequences would be more serious.
Oh, it'd be like a real dam burst, right? Just be this immediate
exactly.
Influx.
So
okay.
Yeah, Mendenhall Lake is a reservoir that kind of smooths the curve. So that's an advantage here.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
yeah.
In general, we have a fairly long time between the onset of the outburst flood, which we monitor up there using cameras, and the actual peak flow down at the river takes up to 3 days. Compared to other geohazards that we have here in Juneau, like avalanches or landslide, it's a fairly slow process.
Are there things that you've been able to, and I know it's a short time period for observation, but are there things that you've observed and been able to measure at the Mendenhall Glacier that has changed the scientific understanding of how these things occur and why they're occurring and the frequency and those types of things?
And we're totally in the process of doing that. So the project I'm working on just started this past season. That's season one. Mm-hmm. And then we'll continue next year in season two. And we have been able to collect a lot of good measurements that we'll analyze together with measurements that we'll do next season. And we'll definitely hope to get, new understanding, better understanding of the processes. Up at Suicide Basin, and some of the measurements, they look really promising. So we're okay. able to measure, for example, the falling limb of the water level up there, which is something that's very important for modeling applications. We've been able to measure the water level right after the flood using drone technology, and that's something that hasn't been possible in previous years. So we're really, really happy about the results we have had so far.
So that's really interesting. Can you explain those two terms? Did you just say falling?
Oh, the falling limb, yeah.
Falling limb?
Yeah,
I heard you correctly, falling limb. What does that
Yeah, that's
mean?
Correct.
So up in Suicide... It's not about trees, I'm guessing, right?
No, it's not about okay. trees. So up in Suicide Basin, we're measuring the water level that's going up over several weeks, mm-hmm. typically. And then there's this very fast drainage. And actually measuring this falling limb, that's kind of the falling part of the water level curve, has been very challenging in the past because there's so much floating ice in the basin. There's floating ice, like big, big icebergs. They can shear off all the instruments that we put in there.
Oh.
So far it's been really challenging to do that. And last season we put in new instruments, and many of these instruments redundant, and we've actually been able to get good results, which is exciting for us.
So that's not the flow of the water out. It's the measure of the water level in the basin itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is that Suicide Basin? Where is that? How far back is that?
It's pretty close to the current terminus of Menhol Glacier.
Okay. Can you kind of see where it would be from the lake?
If you're at the Menhol Visitor Center, it's about 2 miles up glacier from the current terminus on the right side.
Okay.
You can definitely see it from Mount McInnes if you're a hiker.
Right, sure, yeah.
Or if you're in one of the helicopter tours, actually, like a lot of these tours, they circle in Suicide Basin mm-hmm. so that people get a good view of Suicide Glacier, which is the main glacier comes down. So it's
I see, okay.
It's really close to the terminus of Menhol Glacier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, what is it about glaciers as they retreat that makes these... I mean, I know this is part of the question you're asking,
right.
But what are some of the theories about what is it about a retreating glacier that makes these occurrences happen more often?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So it's a fact that small glaciers retreat faster. They actually respond faster to climate change.
Is Mendenhall considered small?
No, it's a big glacier. The trunk is actually a big glacier, but we have Suicide Glacier that comes into the Mendenhall Glacier. And like 50 years ago, Suicide Glacier used to be a healthy tributary. But it's a much smaller glacier than Menhol Glacier, and because it's smaller, this glacier retreats faster. So what happened in Suicide Basin, because this ice flow from Suicide Glacier is lacking now, it just became a big, big depression.
Oh, I see.
So there used to be ice flow from Suicide Glacier into the basin, and the basin was full of ice. And today, it's just like a huge, huge depression. And I'll show some pictures.
That fills up with water.
That fills up with water, yeah. Okay. It's dammed by the trunk of Menhol Glacier. And today, I'll show some comparisons between Suicide Basin in 1893, so 125 years ago, and today, so it's a completely different world.
Wow, really intensive. And what's the typical, when one of these floods happens, how much water are we talking about? I mean, what's the volume?
Last year, we measured 10,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools. So it's a...
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot
of water.
That's
amazing.
Yep, and we're actually able to... constrain us really well because we used drones. We had a drone flying over the basin right before it drained, and then we flew the same drone over the basin right after it drained. And by differencing the elevation models that we create from these drone products, we can pretty accurately determine the volume of water stored in there.
Are there – so let's assume these things continue to – are there mitigation things that can be done to lessen the effects of this for people that are living along the Mendenhall River?
Yeah, as indicated early on, we're really lucky here in Juneau that we have the lake far down, which kind of acts as a reservoir. But generally, that's so much water that it is a challenging problem to deal with. I mean, something we see, you know, in other countries, maybe in Europe, if they have a dam, let's say if there was a dam down at the Menhol Lake, if you notice that the water up in Suicide Basin starts draining, or even before, you would actually lower the water of Menhol Lake so that Menhol Lake could take up more water as a reservoir. I don't suggest that's something – I know that's not something that is realistic here in Juneau.
There's other issues along with that, obviously. But
exactly.
That sort of thing is
– But that's something that is done in other countries. Mm-hmm. So there are measures, but typically they're really expensive. And I think here in Juneau, we really have a good setup right now with like early warning system With the emergency management here in town. So it's working really well. NOAA and CBGA are working together really
well. Yeah. Well, so tell me a little bit more about the focus of what you want to get across to people tonight in your lecture tonight. What are some of the things that maybe they'll be surprised to hear that you're, you know, wanting to let them know about?
Yeah. So first we'll start off with a little bit of background, like what is a glacial lake outburst flood? Why does it happen? And then we'll give some more background about the Suicide Basin outburst flood. But then most of the talk tonight we'll really spend on the instrumentation that we used this past season. So we'll talk about the drones that we use. We use a GPS on the floating tongue, about all the pressure gauges that we used. So we'll show data and show corresponding interpretations, and that will be the focus of our talk. We'll also look a little bit into the future, so what might happen with a Suicide Basin in the future.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
That was an interesting thing to me when you said that this past year's was the third largest flood on record.
In terms of peak flow?
Yeah.
Down at
the
river?
Because I would think that, you know, as the glacier recedes, the floods would get smaller. But what's wrong with my assumption there?
That's a very good question, too. So it's true that the trunk of Manhole Glacier is thinning very quickly, currently, and this will probably happen in the future, too. So it will continue thinning in the future. So the ice dam at Suicide Basin is getting smaller. But then on the other hand, we also will have less ice in the basin itself, so this can counteract the thinning ice dam. And there are quite a few other factors that determine how much water is actually draining out of Suicide Basin. And then another important factor down the peak flow at Manhole River is not only dependent on the water that is coming out of Suicide Basin, it also depends on the so-called base flow of Manhole River. So if the outburst flood happens during a rainy time period, let's say like a really heavy rainstorm and warm temperatures, then the same outburst flood from up and Manhole Glacier will lead to a much higher flood peak than compared to, you know, very dry conditions. So that really affects the peak flow down at the river.
Are there areas, and you mentioned the Himalayas earlier, but are there areas that are really ringing alarm bells for scientists that are in this field where the work that you're doing to study Mendenhall could help save a really critical area somewhere else?
I think it's mostly in the Himalayas, I would say, yeah. There are definitely a lot of glaciers in Alaska that have similar problems. But
they're remote.
They're remote, I think in Alaska, Manhole Glacier is really the one that is closest to, you know, to infrastructure for sure. But yeah.
So there's villages and things like that built in the floodplain of glaciers in the Himalayas and could really be a disaster if something significant happened in those areas.
That's correct. Yeah. In the Alps as well. You might have some glacial lake outburst floods that affect infrastructure and houses. Yeah.
And I suppose there might be areas where it's not happening on glaciers today but may start happening as glaciers recede or as the climate changes and continues to warm.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's a very dynamic phenomenon. So it started happening all of a sudden in 2011 here at Manhole Glacier.
Had there been one at all recorded before that?
There might have been, like looking at the peak flows in the past, there might have been, but it was not like continuous, you know, like the stretch from 2011 to 2018, it was pretty much continuous.
Yeah,
with some exceptions. There might have been some individual, you know, outburst floods in the past. There are other lakes along Manhole Glacier. There might have been.
Yeah. Well, fascinating stuff. Tell me a little bit about if people are interested in this and their fascination has been piqued a little bit by this discussion. Where can they see you? It's out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So my colleague Aaron Hood and I will give two presentations tonight at the Fireside Chat at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. The first presentation will start at 6:30, and it typically lasts an hour, so from 6:30 to 7:30. And the second presentation will be from 8 to 9 o'clock. And, we'll hope to see many of you out there despite the wonderful snow.
Yeah, well, the snow, it's beautiful out there, and it'll be a nice drive out there. But
yep.
Christian Keenholz, thanks so much for coming in. Have a great lecture, a fascinating subject, and one that I'm sure will be continuing to visit here in Juneau as the Mendenhall Glacier continues to change on us. Thanks so much for coming in, and have a great talk tonight.
Awesome. Thanks for having
me.
drive away.